times must we take this disgrace? A bunch of Bears fans throwing insults in our face. The Packers are the greatest team to ever play the game, even though from time to time they play a little lame. How could you ever love a team with Jim McMahon? Not even Porky Pig was as big a ham. They've got a reputation that's mostly based on luck. The Bears still suck. The Bears still suck. The
Don't
Bears
give me an air
still
for that.
Suck.
That was so stupid.
The Bears still suck. The
so
Bears
dumb.
Still suck. Away we go on the Friday edition.
The fact you've memorized that, it just shows.
It's a big song of my childhood.
Tells me a lot.
Big song of my childhood.
I'm memorizing Eminem. You're here memorizing the enemy's fight song, or I guess your own fight song about the enemy.
Fight song about the enemy. Yeah, the Happy Schnapps Combo is who that's by. Wonder where they're at these days. The Friday edition, Mr. Irrelevant. Alex Groff with you. Grubel offices one call. That's all studio at the Avenue, downtown Milwaukee. Will Summers is here. Joshy DiMaggio off today. And Hunter Vaughn has returned.
Air horn yourself.
Right, I'm glad to be back.
Hunter, welcome. Welcome back. Where were you?
My wife and I, along with my sister-in-law and mother-in-law, we went down to Disney World for the Disney Christmas stuff. Highly recommend. It was great. Disney theme parks already really good, but then the Christmas stuff even better.
I have a question. Will also has a question.
You go first because I don't have a question, but I want to ask one.
Okay. My question is, and I don't mean this in a rude way. Are you a Disney adult? Are you defined as a Disney adult?
I mean, in the last 3 years, my wife and I have gone to Disney World and Disneyland now. So yeah, I guess I am.
Okay. Will, go ahead.
What was your favorite part?
I think for the, we did the Mickey's Christmas party at Magic Kingdom one of the nights.
I bet that was lit.
Oh, it was.
Is there booze at these things?
Not in Magic Kingdom for that, but Epcot does. And then they do a holiday food festival. So I ate and drank around the world. Started in Canada, had a cranberry wine, and then went to France and had a mulled wine.
So people just getting messed up and like walking around Disney World? Is that how this works?
I mean, if you're drinking that much with one, how little they give you, and two, how much it costs, I mean, you've got a ton of money. But, I mean, people are having a good time in Epcot.
So Magic Kingdom is the dry campus.
Correct. Yes.
I'm not going there. Okay. Stay away from Magic Kingdom. That's what I wrote down. I'm getting ready for a trip just in case I end up down there.
You going to Disney soon?
Potentially. You never know.
Okay.
I mean, I enjoy theme parks, and Disney, like, they do it better than anybody else with the theming and everything, and then you add in the Christmas stuff that they add on top of that, and it was just next level.
We had people asking about you. Lots of people are chiming in right now on YouTube. Hunter's alive. Hunter's alive. People were worried about you. I guess I didn't know if your trip was public, so I didn't want to say it until you were back. But Hunter back. He was at Disney World. Good to have Hunter back. I had a Packers Bears coming up Sunday at Lambeau Field. The Bears 9-3. The Packers 8-3-1. It is rivalry week. The first of two matchups between these two teams within 13 days. The Packers will go back to Chicago in 13 days from Sunday on December 20th. That's that Saturday game. It'll be a Saturday night showdown in Chicago. And I don't want to say it's effectively the division on the line the next 3 weeks, but effectively the division's on the line the next 3 weeks. If the Packers win on Sunday, they overtake the Bears for first place in the NFC North. If the Bears win on Sunday, which I don't think will happen, they will extend their lead in the NFC North with only a few games to go, 4 games after Sunday. So, number one, this Sunday has huge implications. I think December 20th's implications are a little bit bigger just because it's closer to the end of the season, especially if the Packers win on Sunday, this Sunday, going in 2 weeks. But it's a really big one between these two teams, as it's the first time in 12 years that a meaningful December matchup between these two teams has existed. It's the first time in a long time that the Bears have held up their end of the bargain when the Packers have also held up their end of the bargain. And these are the two best teams in the division by record. Obviously, a big win yesterday for Detroit over Dallas on Thursday Night Football. Sorry, Hunter. But so there's still a live Detroit is, but the NFC's murky right now. The next couple of weeks, going to be really crucial to figure out who is alive and able to make the postseason out of the NFC. But the Packers and Bears certainly in good position.
Yeah, especially down the stretch. No team really has an easy game. Like, who do the Packers play their last five games? They got the Bears twice, the Ravens, the Broncos, and then who's the one I'm missing? Is that it?
The Vikings.
The Vikings. Yeah, okay. Vikings, so, I mean, but the Bears have one bye game, too, and that's against the Browns, which isn't even a bye game. So that just magnifies?
There you go.
Magnifies the effect of these games that, they're like, the head-to-head, none of the other games are guaranteed. So these just mean so much more in the division, especially since the Bears played the Lions at the end of the year, who they lost by, like, 100 points to in week two.
So we will certainly see. And Detroit likely going to be fighting for their life at that point. So it makes for a fun stretch here for both of these teams. But obviously it all starts Sunday. The Packers are 6.5-point favorites at home with the way they've been playing. And frankly, I'm super encouraged about the Packers offense, the way they've turned a corner seemingly since those back-to-back losses to Carolina and Philadelphia where they couldn't score points. And granted, you lose Tucker Kraft, that's going to hurt your offense. But it seems like Matt LaFleur maybe has turned a corner in terms of his play calling, trusting Jordan Love. And that's not to say he didn't trust Jordan Love. I think there's always been trust there. But like all good things, trust takes time. And a lot alike Matt LaFleur, we're trying to figure out exactly how good Jordan Love is. I think he's proven this season he's that dude. Like he has the ability to be a very, very, very good quarterback in the National Football League, does Jordan Love. And that was proven on Thanksgiving again. That was proven a little bit against the Vikings, obviously dealing with the shoulder injury. And the game plan they had in that game was just dominate time of possession, run the football, and it worked to perfection. So curious to see what the game plan is on Sunday, but I would imagine the ball is in Jordan Love's hands quite a bit, which it should be. It should be at this point, given the way he is playing as of late. And he could play his way right back into the MVP conversation after Dak Prescott does not have a very good game last night against Detroit. It seems like it's a two-horse race with Stafford and May, but if Love continues to play the way he's played the last few weeks, he'll be right back in the MVP conversation, which is encouraging for a guy in year three as a starter.
Do we both agree 6.5 is way too many points?
I think it's disrespectful, but I wouldn't be shocked if the Packers won by a touchdown.
Really?
I think it is disrespectful given the way the Bears are playing, but I think the Packers are playing their best ball too.
I would consider like 6.5 makes me think this game's going to be a blowout. And I just don't see that happening in any way, shape, or form.
Well, if you take a look at last week, right, like Thursday, Thanksgiving between the Lions and the Packers, the Packers had a significant lead for most of that game. They were up by 10 points for most of it. Obviously, a late field goal pulled it within 7, and that would be covering your hypothetical 6.5. That would be in this Bears game. So if the Packers are riding a decent lead throughout and are able to keep it between 7 and 10, like, that wouldn't shock me.
I mean, I guess. I get that the home spread is like the 3.5 given already. So technically it is just a little bit over a field goal, but I would have expected it to be like 4.5 maybe, which is a weird hook, but something around that.
You don't think that there's anything to do with maybe other Bears fans thinking like you will? And Chicago being the market size it is when it comes to betting, that the sports books would then be saying, hey, let's try and get as many of those people in that ginormous market to put money on their team to try and get that money.
Well, that's the thing about me. You know, everything that I say on the show is with the utmost journalistic integrity. So that's not coming from me as a fan. That's coming from me as an analyst.
Yeah, that's you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And also, there's a tax in Chicago now, so people don't want to bet there. There's like a 50% tax with every...
Is that true?
Yes. Or not 50%, like 50 cents or something like that.
Oh.
I forget what the percentage is, but there's some sort of tax where people are up in arms about it.
So when you go home, because you're from Illinois, when you go see your parents, are you gambling?
Yes, a lot.
And you're paying the tax happily?
Yes.
Okay, got it.
Sometimes they'll like wave it.
Yes, a lot.
If you deposit and then just place the bet with the deposit right away, they'll waive it. But if you have like funds left over in there and you want to place a new bet, they will not waive it and you'll have to pay the tax.
The Packers, 6.5 points, it still says on our friends at Pottawatomie Sportsbook. Bet above the rest at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel over on DraftKings. They are 7-point favorites on the ESPN website right now. So lines moved a little bit there. So we will see. But I think, yes, it's a high point spread. Because, frankly, Will, I think Vegas still doesn't trust the Bears. And I don't know that they should. Obviously, they've won 9 of their last 10 games. Obviously, they have the best record in the NFC or tied for the best record. But the number one seed as it stands in the NFC at 9-3. But have they done anything? And frankly, I don't mean this. This is almost my Jim Rutledge-esque respectful
Bears
conversation.
Yeah, give me the respectfully. Even though you're technically punching up now, right?
We'll talk on Monday. But I guess aside from the Eagles game, are these wins convincing? Because I would vote no. I've watched probably 5 or 6 Bears games this year, and I don't know that I've been super convinced that, like, whoa, they're a heavy hitter in the NFC despite the 9-3 record.
All right, here's the thing. Well, like I said the other day, like, wins in the NFL are never guaranteed. You know this because, what did you say? You, like, almost guaranteed a win for the Packers against the Browns.
Yeah, I got
pretty close.
You said
it would be an easy win.
I said what I was sitting in this chair hosting Green Bay Game Day with our buddy Brian Belaga, and I said what should be a cakewalk, and he got very upset with me, rightfully so, because they ended up losing that game.
So yeah, there's that. But I also think, like, the odds makers in Vegas look at the fact that the Bears don't have a good defense. Like, they've had an incredible amount of injuries. They give up a lot of yards. Like, their passing defense is about as good as the Steelers, who's near bottom of the league. But they have all these takeaways. They're 8-0. This is a crazy stat. 8-0 this season. 8 of their 9 wins are when they have 2 or more takeaways, which is, like, such an improbability to have that many takeaways with that bad of a defense. Mm-hmm. So I think that's why the odds makers hate it. But the culture change with Ben Johnson has been, like, around the entire team has changed everything, the way they think. And, I mean, if you're doing it 8 out of your 9 wins, you're getting 2-plus turnovers, that's not a coincidence anymore.
Yeah, I agree with you on that.
And there's reason to believe that they could be as good as they are perceived. They're second in rushing, like, since week 4.
Yeah, they can run
the
ball really
well. Like, on first and second down, they run the ball better than anybody in the league.
Let me do this. Let me say the positives about the Bears, okay? Their head coach is for real. Ben Johnson's for real. There's no doubt in my mind about that. This is respectful. See, I'm not going to be a little turd and be...
It makes it more disrespectful that you keep saying respectful.
No.
Because I already think that you're being
respectful.
I'm
not doing a bit.
And then when you say respectful, I'm like, oh, he was being disrespectful.
Here's the thing about Bears Week. Okay, I'm going to be very transparent with you for a moment. I love trolling Bears fans. It's one of my favorite activities. I get to do it twice a year. I'm very good at it. I've done it for years and years prior to my time at Good Karma. Like, since I've been on the internet, I've always tried to get Bears fans to yell at me on the internet. It's easy to do. They're just easy to do that with. Like, Vikings fans are up there too, but Bears fans are just easier. I think there's probably more Bears fans, frankly, that are loud on the internet. So I love poking at Bears fans. So that's why I do the thank you Chicago thing I did on Monday, right? I don't know if you've been on social media, but Bears fans are not thrilled about my thank you to Chicago, as sincere as I was being, for holding up their end of the bargain and giving me a meaningful game in December. I did Fun with Numbers yesterday. On Kyle Busta Nortman. What'd you think about that?
Felt pretty disrespectful.
That one was pretty disrespectful.
I usually don't agree with the rest of the Bears Twitter, but that one I did.
Yeah, no, I did too. I mean, but that's what I'm doing. I'm doing an act. I'm doing a bit. It's my own personal bit where I like pissing off Bears fans. It's very fun for me. But today is Friday. We are right before the game. It is our last show before the game. We will be back with you Monday to react to the game, whatever happens. And either my fingernails will be painted or Will will be wearing a cheese head. Either or. And I just want to actually talk ball here. So I'm
Let's
being serious
I'm
when
ready.
I say all this, right? So I am a believer in Ben Johnson. I am. I mean, we've said it since he was hired in whatever it was, January, February, that he was the worst case scenario hire for the rest of the NFC North. For him to stay in division, he was obviously the best candidate out there. To go to Chicago, he's going to raise the floor significantly for what that team is. They then did a kick-ass job in the draft, adding weapons around Caleb Williams. They went out there and took swings at offensive linemen, whether that be trade or free agency. There's a clear upgrade. Again, you're raising the floor for a young quarterback in Caleb Williams. He's a guy I'm not sold on yet. I think he's good and can be good. Do I think Caleb Williams can be a top 5 quarterback in the NFL? As of right now, my answer is no. I just don't think he's there yet. There are certainly flashes. There's certainly some athleticism with Caleb Williams where you go, okay, like, I see why you were the number 1 overall pick, but there are also mistakes and shortcomings where you go, ooh, okay, I understand why Matt Eberflus lost his job last year. So I believe in Ben Johnson. The running game is no joke because that offensive line is upgraded and they have 2 good running backs in DeAndre Swift and Kyle Manungai, who is he going to play?
I believe so.
Okay, I saw he missed practice earlier in the week, I think with an ankle injury, but I would assume he plays with the long layoff here. So I am.
If he played for the Packers, though, he definitely would be playing because he had an extra day off.
Correct. Yeah, an extra day. Mm-hmm. Indeed. So I am curious to see how this plays out exactly. And I don't know. Like, I don't think their defense is very good. I think the Packers will have the ability to control the clock and put points on them.
I don't know. I mean, like, do you think, like, it's just luck that they've had 2+ takeaways in 8 out of their 9 games? Like, I think Dennis Allen has a lot to do with that, with a battered defensive backfield, a battered linebacker room, a defensive line that hasn't produced, but yet they still lead the NFL in takeaways. Here's my question to you, because this is what I've been thinking about. Do you think Matt LaFleur does not trust Jordan Love as much in this game because he looks at the Bears as a takeaway first defense?
No.
And says, let's run it with Josh Jacobs. Let's play it safe.
No, because when you think about what Jordan Love has done this season, which is the lack of turnovers, right? I don't think he's turned over the ball since.
But I would also credit part of that to Matt LaFleur not trusting him. Like, yeah, he hasn't had the chance to turn the ball over.
But he's still throwing the ball 30 times a game. Right, it's not like he's not throwing the football. I mean, I'm just going to pull up his game log. So his last interception was against Carolina, November 2nd. So that's over a month ago now. He threw the ball 37 times in that game, 36 times against Philly, 24 times against the Giants, only 21 against the Vikings, and then 30 against Detroit. So that's 100, and just quick math here, that's so not counting Carolina. Philly, New York, Minnesota, Detroit. That's 100 and about... That's 101, actually. Quick math there. Oh, no, 110. 111, final answer. 111 pass attempts in a row that he has not thrown an interception. So there's nothing about like, oh, well, he only threw the ball 7 times that game. That's why he didn't throw an interception. His accuracy has taken a sharp increase this year. He threw 11 interceptions each of the last 2 years. He's only thrown 3 this year, and one against Cleveland, which was that was his worst play of the year so far. That crucial interception at Cleveland, which ultimately led to them losing the game. Cincinnati. Cincinnati threw an interception right away. I think it was their first drive in the red zone. And then Carolina, he threw a bad interception.
Okay, let me rephrase my question then. Do you think it will be a more conservative passing attack then? Because that's where the Bears hurt you, is downfield passing. And I think there's going to be such a small window of area for mistakes for Christian Watson, Wicks, Jaden Reed if he plays, Dobbs. Like, do you think we get back to the Romeo Dobbs 5-yard curl route right on the hash outside? Boring offense.
No.
Not at all?
I mean, it, to some degree, maybe. And will there be more short passes, like less long bombs? Maybe. But I don't know. And LaFleur did talk about this earlier in the week. I don't know how legitimate their 17 interceptions are. Think about the quarterbacks. And again, it's a compliment to any defense if you have 17 interceptions through, what's the record, 9-3, so 12 games. It's a ridiculous
number. I'll be honest, it was a tough list of quarterbacks if you name all of them.
That's correct.
The Mason Rudolph, the Geno Smith.
Geno threw 3 of them. Who got benched in New Orleans? Spencer Rattler threw 3 of them.
A couple.
Right? So it's an impressive feat, no doubt. I don't care if you're playing me at quarterback. 17 interceptions in 12 games is a good number. And their differential is plus 17 as well, if I'm not mistaken. And obviously that includes some fumble recoveries for them. Caleb hasn't turned the ball over a ton, which is credit to him for sure. So all in all, we'll see. We'll see.
You know, I think a part of this too could come into the fact that the weather right now for Green Bay, I'm looking at 19 degrees at kickoff. So they may
19
just,
degrees?
Yeah, 19 degrees.
Oh, it's going to be warmer
than
I thought.
That's bear weather.
That's warmer than I thought. I'm going to the game, so I mean, a little worried.
I don't know what wind chill is going to do to that. Let's see what they're saying for feels like. I mean, we're single digits around kickoff for that. So that could also play a factor in a much more conservative offense for the Packers. Because it feels like that's their go-to as soon as the weather gets either really cold or there's a little bit of precipitation.
I hope there's no precipitation. I got to drive.
Yeah,
there might be in the morning on your way up there.
Ah! I better drive up Saturday.
Isn't it a good omen if it rains on your... Is it a good omen if it rains on your birthday?
No, your wedding day. Wedding day. It's a good omen. I don't think the birthday has anything to do with it. And I'm not getting married on Sunday.
I believe in that.
At least as far as I'm aware, I'm not getting married on Sunday.
Oh, you're not taking another trip to Vegas?
Subject to change. Subject to change. No, just to Green Bay. I don't know if there's a tiny chapel in Green Bay or not.
Eloping?
Yeah. I'm pro elopement, for the record. I don't know if I'll do it, but I am for eloping. If anybody chooses to do that, absolutely no judgment for me.
What is eloping again?
It means you go away, just you two, and you go get married, effectively.
Yeah. Isn't that just getting married?
Well, no.
Sort of.
Yeah, but like...
But it's not like formal or not in a chapel.
Like you're going to Vegas and getting married.
That would be an elopement, yes.
Okay. Yes.
That's what I'm
going to
do.
It means you go away from your home, first off. So like you're not going up the street to the chapel. There's not people in attendance. It's a private ceremony in a different city or state or country. That's eloping. Would you do that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If I get married, you
wouldn't want DTM there?
We'll have a reception after, like a separate party.
So you would do the elopement and then, like,
the
following week,
I don't
want
to make people go to
the
ceremony because the ceremony's boring. Like, let's just be honest.
It can be.
Yeah. No, it is.
No,
it is.
You need a good pastor doing it.
He's the married one. So did you get married in a church, Hunter?
Well, it was all in the same venue. We went to a venue in Mount Horeb, so we got married in the same place. We had our reception then, and it was my godfather who then was the pastor. So, like, having that personal connection, he made it very fun and, like, obviously knowing Sarah then.
How long was the ceremony?
Oh, I don't know if we got to 30 minutes.
Okay, that's good. See, like, that's the perfect spot. Mm-hmm. I was recently at a wedding that went about 90 minutes.
Anytime
that was
I have
tough.
To sit in on one of those hardwood pews,
dude,
in a suit, I'm not happy.
I'll tell you what. So, like, I think the sweet spot for a wedding is somewhere between 20 and 30 minutes. That's my personal opinion, right? Keep it long enough where, like, it's sweet and you're doing the normal stuff, but keep it short enough where we don't have to sit there and just listen to you talk about something when we're just here to watch people get married. I got to give credit to our buddy Ben, who is the market manager at ESPN Madison. I went to his wedding. His ceremony was, like, 4 minutes long. It was
so it was just them like reading
it was
the vows.
Boom, 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 done.
Yep.
Go have a drink.
Do what you legally need to do and get out of there.
Yeah.
The reception needs to be longer, though. The reception is so short.
Well, that's not necessarily true. Like, most receptions are about like 6 hours, 7 hours.
Yeah, they'll go until
close. That's when I start to peak, like 6 hours in.
You got to pregame the wedding then.
Yeah.
That's what you have to do going forward.
Once I get to like midnight, I'm like, this is awesome. And then someone's like, we got to go home. And I'm like very upset. I get very sad.
All right. I want to hear from Micah Parsons because this guy is a freaking maniac. And we've given him so much credit on the show. Props to us for what he has brought to the Green Bay Packers. I did the mini pod on Friday after Thanksgiving just to do three players that stuck out in the Packers-Lions game. Obviously, the biggest one was Micah Parsons with 2.5 sacks. I am so fascinated by this addition and what he brings to this Packers defense. Now, listen to him speak because it's even more fascinating. Micah Parsons yesterday.
You know, I believe in having my, rivalries are for the people. It's for the fans. For me, it's just going out there, just down there. Like, I just don't like him just because, I just see, like, the disrespect that comes with things, And that's what I say. I play for respect. Like, you know how to earn someone's respect. It's being a there's no better feeling than coming to a game and their best players is coming to a team. Like, yeah, like, okay. Like, that's, like, respect.
There you go. That video courtesy of Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette. He feels disrespected, though nobody directly disrespected him.
Yeah, is he mad that the Bears, like, schedule has them coming to Green Bay to play the Packers? Like,
it's disrespectful.
No one disrespected him. And I can guarantee you Ben Johnson didn't bring everybody together, the coaches, the players, and whoever's doing media, and say, hey, guys, let's try to make the guy with 12.5 sacks that's a complete monster who will be lining up against our rookie left tackle. Let's disrespect him. Let's make him mad.
Mm-hmm.
Micah Parsons, I think this is just how he functions. Like, listening to press conferences about him where he's saying, like, he plays board games against his girlfriend, he loses, and he won't talk to her for a day. I think this is just how he's wired. This is just how he gets psyched up. But it is kind of, can I say something, though? A little weird? First year in the rivalry, taking it a little too far?
Who, Parsons?
He hasn't played the Bears since 2022.
He's just a crazy person, dude.
Okay.
I love that he's all in. What's wrong with that?
Well, he's acting like he has this like personal vendetta against the Bears.
He should.
He hasn't played them as a member of the Packers.
It's a first place game on Sunday. He should have a personal vendetta.
He did this as a rookie with New York and Washington. He was a Pennsylvania kid, so like the Eagles was a different thing. But he was like this in Dallas too. He is just a lunatic. He's a crazy person. Like,
yes, yes.
So this is just who he is. There's nothing more to it, Will. Like, he's crazy. I have no other words for it.
I was listening to Jeff Hafley, who met with the media yesterday afternoon. And you guys, I've talked about this before. I'm just kind of a dork. People are calling Josh the nerd in the chat, which is accurate. He's much nerdier than I am, but a nerdy part of my life as a Packers fan. And it helps for work, I guess, because I'm about to bring up an anecdote from it. But like, I just do it because I love listening to guys talk ball. I often listen to the coordinator and head coach press conferences, just what I do. After every Packers game, I go to bed while watching the Matt LaFleur press conference. I listened to Jeff Hafley yesterday afternoon, and one of the first questions he was asked was about this quote from Micah Parsons. It was about him talking about how he feels disrespected. And Hafley just laughed, and he said, yeah, I don't know who in their right mind would disrespect Micah Parsons. He's one of the best football players in the league. And then he went on to say, I just hope he gets to a really, really dark place on Sunday.
I think he's trying. I think this all stems from Ben Johnson saying he respects the Packers defense. And Micah doesn't like that. He doesn't like to get comfortable. He doesn't like to feel like he's doing a good job. He's got to get angry.
Is this almost like method acting?
Yes. But, that's why, like, it's weird. Like, it's kind of weird.
What was it? Heath Ledger, who played the Joker in The Dark Knight?
You made a movie reference.
That's the upset of the century.
I'm so proud of you right now, Strofe.
Although that's not really like, have you ever seen the movie?
Yeah, okay. Several times. Okay. One of the greatest movies of all time, I would argue.
Nice.
The Dark Knight with Heath Ledger, God bless his soul. But he method acted the Joker. He like really got into character. And this is almost what it seems like for Micah Parsons. He's getting into Joker mode.
Yeah,
are you just so blown away? I made a correct movie reference.
I didn't know Heath Ledger passed away, so I had to look that
up. He died shortly after The Dark Knight came out.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
They were finishing up filming. Like, they had to cut out a scene.
It hadn't even come out yet?
Yeah.
I also love him in 10 Things I Love About You, but...
It's 10 Things I Hate About You.
I was watching the spinoff.
It is 10 Things I Hate About You.
Yeah, no, there's a spinoff. Like, the Hunger Games, there's the Hangover Games.
He was in a lot of movies.
Yeah.
Brokeback Mountain. You ever see that?
Yeah. No, I haven't, but I know about it.
I don't know Monster's Ball. I don't know A Knight's Tale, but I've obviously...
A Knight's Tale, very good. Monster's Ball won Best Picture, I believe, when that came out. So, yeah. He's very good.
Okay. Knowing our ADHD brains, there we go. We're just completely off topic after I make a really good movie analogy.
That threw me through a loop. I needed a second.
With your movie analogy, though, and the same character, method acting can go the opposite direction, because Jared Leto tried to method act as the Joker in The Suicide Squad, went very poorly, made a bunch of his co-stars very uncomfortable, and like had a lot of issues on set then because of it. So... Micah could be trying to method act, and it could go the other way and start to rub his teammates the wrong way because they're just trying to do their job. Like, I know, I'm just saying that is also an issue with method acting if we're going to go off of your...
Who in Green Bay is going to get rubbed the wrong way by a guy with 12 and a half sacks?
I am just saying that method acting, if you're going to use that analogy,
he
can also go
acting,
the opposite direction.
You know, he just might be nuts.
He probably is.
You probably have to be nuts to be as good as he is.
Yes.
We talk about it often. I imagine in every career path, the best of the best are crazy people.
That's what's like... Imagine Aaron Donald, like, who is a guy of... I mean, Aaron Donald was a physical freak, but he has a similar stature to Micah Parsons. Imagine him with this mindset.
Yeah.
Aaron Donald's a nice guy. Like, there's nothing scarier than a guy who is built like Micah Parsons, A. B is wearing the number one. I can't explain why, but he's so much damn faster when he wears that number one versus the sticks, 11. And then you just have a killer... Not just a killer mindset, but you just convince yourself that everyone's out to get you.
Hunter, I'm giving you a producer duty. I don't know how you're going to do this.
Oh, geez.
I just took a picture.
Yeah, what was that?
Somebody just walked up to the glass and took a selfie with me. I don't know how we're going to find this photo. He's with like a he's with his kid, I assume. They're now playing the crane machine. Okay. But I would like to see that photo at some point.
They don't
post it anywhere.
Kind of hurt they didn't want one with me.
Well, you're not a star yet.
Yeah, that's fair.
I'm having a good hair day today too.
It's too bad.
I know.
Okay, I'll try and figure out how to make that happen.
Can you? Yeah, Hunter, you just take a picture of me, okay? Just on the on your computer screen.
Nah,
or something.
I'm good. Let's talk
we
more
just
about
need
Packers
maximum.
Bears.
Okay.
The only uncomfortable one in that room is the Bears fan after watching what Micah said, says Dr. Denver.
It is a little terrifying. I don't get why he's doing it, but it's just scary. It's like like we took the Bears, like metaphorically a bear. Like you come across a bear in the forest. It's like we took his food and he's pissed at us. We didn't take anything.
He's mad. He's
We're
mad
trying
on the
to
schedule.
Walk around the bear. We're not trying to get attacked by the bear. We're trying to not wake him up. We're trying to not upset him. But for some reason, he's awake. And he acts like we just took all of his cheese or something, and he's really pissed off at us. It's a weird analogy to make with bears and cheese, but it's just first thing that came to my mind.
Nice job.
Thank you.
I thought you landed the plane.
Okay.
Yeah, it's awesome he's a Green Bay Packer, man. It's still taking some getting used to be honest with you, because well, who the hell is this unbelievably efficient pass rusher that they just desperately needed a year ago?
So you don't feel any pressure, like, to win this game, to win the North?
I mean, of course there's pressure.
That move.
Of course there's pressure. Like, if there's Super Bowl expectations in Green Bay. Of course there's pressure.
If you didn't trade for him, would you feel less pressure?
I don't know. I probably not, because the Bears are good and you're good, and it's a big time matchup. It's fun.
It is fun.
Is there nerves surrounding it? Of course there
I'm
is.
I'm nervous.
I'm nervous too. I'm not nervous of the Bears. I'm nervous of the Packers under delivering like they've done this year.
I'm nervous because I'm going to feel that feeling I've felt 100 times in my life, where the Bears lose to the Packers, and I have to be surrounded by a Packers fan or fans the next day, and it is the worst feeling on planet Earth. You just go right back to square one. It's that feeling.
Yeah. Sorry to hear that.
I mean, it could be worse, and your team could not play them very much, and then they choke in the playoffs against them. Like, that, I get that that sucks, Will, but there are worse levels to it. You could be way more miserable after a playoff loss.
There's a chance... scratch this from the record after I say it, that the Bears could blow the NFC North and the NFC, and then that might be worse than anything. And then they play the Packers in the first round of the playoffs. Go 0-3 to them? That would... Scratch that from the record, by the way.
No, keep that on the record. Keep that on
the record. We're saving that.
Josh, you mentioned that the other day. I would love to see these two teams in the playoffs again.
It'd be so fun.
The last time was 2010 NFC Championship game.
Yeah.
And that was a pretty fun day for me.
Good thing I don't remember it.
Why don't you remember it?
It was 8.
So? I have memories of watching football when I was 8.
I don't. I was more consumed by other things when I was 8.
What were you consumed by?
Eating popsicles, playing video games. Normal 8-year-old things.
What video games?
Not Randall Cobb.
Not Randall Cobb.
Need more details.
I think it was like, what was it called? It was like one of those... I know Strofe plays, he's going to get excited. Like the cool math games, like the Fire Boy and Lava Girl or something like that.
Yeah,
yeah, that one.
Absolutely.
Nice. Yeah, I played that. Eating some popsicles. Sucking my thumb.
Why popsicles?
I liked popsicles. We had a big like 300 pack. It was like
the Icy
popsicle.
Pops?
Yeah, the Icy Pops.
Yeah,
that's what they're called. Yeah,
those things were good.
Dude, those things hit different in the middle of July. Go and get those out of the garage freezer.
Grape, favorite flavor.
I'm realizing we lose even more track of the show when Josh isn't here.
Yep.
Which you asked me what I was doing when I was 8.
Yeah, that was my fault. I never give credit to Josh. But he keeps us on track, actually, I think.
You don't. He does sometimes.
He gives himself enough credit around here.
Until somebody walks...
He's off today and he's still tweeting at Dan Orlovsky being like, "Welcome to the Jordan Love MVP Club." You're a little late, but we're happy to have you. Yeah, he's off today and he's doing that.
He's pretty on track until somebody that peeks his eye walks across this glass behind us.
Okay, just because Josh isn't here doesn't mean you have to try and use big words here. Peeks his eye. I mean, one, you didn't use that correctly.
Peeks his interest.
No, there you go.
There it is.
I don't think that's a big word.
I mean, it's not a big word.
No, but you were trying to... You were trying to sound intelligent by saying that.
He was. Yeah, and he is an intelligent guy. All right, we will get to game picks in a moment, because I want to hit Marquette, Wisconsin coming up tomorrow, what we missed, a little college basketball conversation because we've got the hoops heads on the show today, the three of us. So we'll get to that and what we missed. We will get to NFL picks in a moment. But before we do that, let's just do a little exercise, me and you, Will.
Okay.
What makes you most confident in the Chicago Bears on Sunday?
Their running offense, their offensive line. Wait, can I just name one? Or like, this is all like collectively one, collectively. But I guess the running offense.
Okay.
The trenches, they have the offensive linemen to do it. Micah Parsons, if they can run the ball well, they can limit his impact on the game. I read something the other day that really got me. This is what flipped me, what made me real confident. I'm still undecided on who I'm going to pick yet.
Well, you're going to have to make that decision
wait
about 5 minutes.
Yeah, until it comes. But I read something about, I think it was John Gruden talking about it, how Ben Johnson has customized his blocking schemes and running schemes each and every week to match the opposing defense's front four to front five or whatever it is. And I was like, "That I'm in on that."
So he made adjustments?
Yeah. And then there was a montage of just a bunch of cool like guys pulling and blocking and stuff. Just blowing up linebackers, explaining how easy it is for them to get to the second level. So I'm confident in the running game, to answer
how
your question.
Down
most confident in the running game.
As a fan base, do you have to be excited that your head coach is actually making offensive adjustments?
I mean, you tell
damn
me,
bad.
Your defensive coordinator used to be our head coach, and how many points did he give up last night?
Oh, yeah, no, I know.
Fair point.
Look,
fair comeback.
It wasn't a comeback. I'm commiserating with you, Hunter.
Yes, oh, I know.
I came from that school.
I know. That's the thing. Like, Will and I know it well. This is not a new thing for me, and I just need to remind everyone of just, like, that's where we're at with the Bears fan base. It sucks.
Yeah. And the culture is incredible now. Like, they've never had culture before.
Not in a long time.
No, not in a very long
time. Not in a long time.
Not that I can remember, really.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of names of coaches that I'm not allowed to say.
Lovie Smith?
No, he was a good one. Okay. But there's a Canadian, one that came from the Canadian League who was just so god-awful.
Who's that?
No one says his name.
What's his name? Just whisper it.
His initials are MT. Can you guess it?
Oh, yeah. Is it, Marty,
first name Mark.
Mark Trestman, thank
yes.
you.
Yes. Thank you. I don't say his name.
Okay, got
he's
it.
That bad of a coach.
Okay, who else do I have in there?
John Fox is there.
Yeah.
He was horrible.
In Chicago, he certainly was.
Yeah. Nagy was horrendous towards the end of his tenure.
He was. Yep. Went back to Kansas City doing just fine there, though.
And then
were you old enough for the Mike Martz as the OC era? That would have been...
Nah, I don't think so.
Yeah, because you were like 7 or 8 then. Because that was when they traded Greg Olsen because they wanted blocking tight ends. So they sent him to Carolina. Yeah, that was a good time.
Yeah, I don't remember that. No. I remember Shane Waldron. He was horrible.
Mm-hmm.
We've come a long way. So the fact that our coach is making adjustments and focusing on the run game, which struggled the first 2 weeks, that's our biggest strength right now. It's what I'm most proud of.
Okay, what are you worried about?
I'm worried that the run will not work. And then it's Micah Parsons' time, and Caleb Williams has to throw the ball. Here's the thing about Caleb Williams, too. Like, over the middle, he's a pretty good passer, right? Like, okay. He can throw the ball over the middle. He can duck it in between the linebackers. And the Packers linebackers aren't phenomenal in pass coverage, but they're all right, right? The thing that he can't do is throw the ball outside the hash marks. Like, deep out routes, like those long go routes that Luther Burden will run, he can't hit those, like, simply. And I'm worried that if the Bears fall quickly, they stall on offense. I think the Packers defense Packers offense and the Bears defense match up very well. Like, I think they're just going to kind of butt heads for a little bit, and each is going to get their own swing on each other at one point or another. But my fear is that the Bears offense stalls and they have to throw it, and Caleb has a really bad game. And not only do I have to hear about my team losing, but that the quarterback sucks.
I think you're going to hear that even if they win.
Yeah, but what if he has a really good game?
Then you probably
like his
wouldn't
best
hear as
game
much.
Of the year.
Yeah, well, that's not going to happen.
Honestly.
I'm just going to tell you that right away. Spoiler alert.
I'm a whirlwind of emotions right now.
I can tell.
I'm on both ends of the spectrum.
I can tell.
I think for Packer fans to not say that Caleb Williams sucks, he would have to go for nearly 500 yards and no turnovers.
Yeah. Well, because somebody was going to pull out his calculator and just go to like some random EPA DVOA stat.
Yep.
When wins are the only stat that matters, really. And Caleb Williams is, what, top 5 in the league in wins?
Okay, we're not doing all that.
I'm sorry, I just don't do stats. I'm not a stat guy. Ever since Caleb Williams has been putting up bad, like, DVOA, EPA, whatever, I don't pay attention.
The thing I am the most confident in is two players. It's Jordan Love and Micah Parsons. I think the Packers have two field-tilting players at the two most important positions. If they play anything near like they played last Thursday, they will win this game. The thing that worries me is nothing. The Packers will win. There, the end. I'm not participating in my own exercise. Time now for our Week 14.
That was a low blow. You got me.
You did get me all week. I needed to get you back.
I also didn't believe that.
Didn't believe what?
That was a coward move.
What?
To say you're not worried about anything. There was no conviction behind that.
I'm not worried about anything. They're going to win this game. That's why I made a bet with you on it. Okay. I made a bet with you to go to Hot Pilates. You think if I didn't have confidence, I'd make a Hot Pilates bet?
That's not even that bad.
Brother, I haven't worked out in like 10 years.
What, you get a nice sweat in and one step closer to getting a fit bod? Yeah.
Well, and I'm going to paint my fingernails orange and blue, but that's not going to happen.
That's bad.
You're going to be, by the way, I need to make an amendment to our bet. Your cheese head. You need to wear it all day. We did
what is all day? Like,
so it's from the moment you get in to the moment you leave.
Taking a half day.
And the longest you can take it off is a minute. If anybody sees it off of your head for more than a minute, you have to do it again on Tuesday.
This is a crazy wrinkle.
Then I think
it's an important wrinkle.
How fast do you have to get your fingernails painted then?
I will show up Monday with my fingernails painted.
Okay.
If that's the case, but it won't happen.
For the whole week? That's what you said, right?
No, I just pull until the
tape.
It wears off.
Pull the tape.
Just until it wears off. I did not say that.
He's going to be sitting there scratching his fingernails during KBN to get it off.
Yeah, correct. It is time now for our Week 14 NFL picks. We'll have our standings updates in a minute. The loser, and we're coming down to it, 5 weeks left. The loser will spend Wild Card weekend in Will's apartment. If Will loses, he will spend, is it Wild Card Saturday at Hunter's apartment?
Dude, I don't even know. Let's just not talk about that because I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, one of those 2 days. He's gonna have a sleepover at Hunter's apartment with Hunter and his wife, and he's going to go to Costco with them.
Hunter, I hope you've been upgrading your pad, because I have been upgrading mine. Like, it's becoming less and less of a punishment
for you
guys. Did you
just call it a pad?
Well, I guess for me, it's a pad. It's a bachelor pad.
Yeah, okay. Upgrading
like
my pad.
I got an air fryer. I got two more TVs.
Got
it's
an air
cleaner
fryer.
Than it ever has been.
Really? You clean this week or what?
I clean my bathroom more regularly. Like, I'm ready.
You.
I'm upgrading.
Good for you.
I'm consciously, despite me being punished either way, I'm trying to make it better for whoever has to come spend the weekend with me.
I love it. All right. Will, our standings updates.
So me and Hunter are tied at 15-10-1 in first place. Stroke, you are in second place at 14-11-1. And Josh, the smart one, supposedly, in last place at 13-12-1.
So it's only a one-game separation between me and Joshy, though.
And also a one-game separation between you, me, and Hunter. But we do two a week, so technically it is just like 1 week.
It's anybody's ball
game. 1 week of picks.
It's anybody's ball game right now. So with Josh in last place, he will go first. He has the Green Bay Packers beating the Chicago Bears, unsurprisingly. And he's picking the Jags at home over the Indianapolis Colts. The Colts 1.5-point favorites. Both of those teams 8-4. Another winner will take first place game in the NFL this week. The Jags will jump into first place of the AFC South with a win against Indianapolis. And that is what Joshy is picking to happen. He's got the Jags and the Packers. On to my picks in second place. I also have the Packers. I have the Packers winning. And my underdog is going to be one I am not very confident in. But I'm going to do it anyway. Give me 9 if he's back. And the Minnesota Vikings to beat the Washington Commanders. That game is in Minnesota. The Commanders are 1.5-point favorites. I've got the Packers and the Vikings this weekend. The Vikings, my underdog pick. All right, you guys are tied. So let's go to Hunter first. Hunter. Bears, Packers, and your underdog.
I'm going to go the Packers. And my underdog, I've been really struggling. They've got to come through for me. I've picked them 3 times this year, and they have failed me every time. But I like the Jags to get the win at home.
So Josh and Hunter in alignment this week. Packers, Jags for both of them. Will.
Been going through a lot of thought.
I see that.
For my Bears-Packers prediction, I'm going to take the Packers because they had an extra day off. They had an extra day off. The Bears are practicing on Thanksgiving, and the Packers had the Bears primetime game off to watch it and get film. So I think that they have an unfair advantage. I think all the teams that
this
play
is
on
the
Thanksgiving,
excuse you're going with?
All
wow.
the teams on Thanksgiving should have to play themselves, play the other teams that played on Thanksgiving the next week, like last night where the Lions and the Cowboys play each other.
This is your excuse?
Yeah.
An extra day of rest.
The extra day off is going to kill him.
Okay, hold on. I think I know what you're doing. You're doing a reverse
jinx. And for my underdog, I'm going to pick the Chicago Bears.
No.
I think they come out and beat the brakes off the Packers. I think Kyle Manunga is going to run for 150. Swift's going to add in another 150. We're going to break the single season rushing yard record. Or single game rushing yard record.
It's the only time I'll allow it.
Okay.
No.
I'm going to allow it.
No, we can't
allow
this.
Hunter, I just punted a game. What are you mad about?
He's guaranteeing a 1-1 week.
You guys all have a chance to go 2-0. I punted.
This is dumb. I hate this. You're ruining the integrity of the game pick competition.
How? I'm losing on purpose.
All right, hold on. Here's what we're going to
do. Oh, I see why he's mad, because then I have to go hang out with him.
I think he wants that.
No, I don't know. Do you want that, Hunter?
I'm cool with it. My wife is very unhappy about it.
Let me tell you, if I have to do it, I'm going to be a pain.
Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to give the YouTube chat 5 minutes to vote on this. Yes or no, should we allow Will to pick both? He's guaranteeing a 1-1 week.
They won't let me vote on it.
And whatever the result is at 120, so in 4 minutes, that will be what we go with. If the MIA says you should be allowed to do it, we will allow you to take your 1-1 and punt on the week. If they say no, I need you to redo your picks.
Okay. I haven't thought of a backup because I'm so sure of this pick, but okay. I can look.
I like the creativity. We'll see if the MIA agrees. Okay, let's get to what we missed, because I have a couple things I want to cover in that. And what we missed, of course, is presented by Door County Distillery, locally produced, handcrafted, award-winning spirits made locally in beautiful Door County. Gins, brandies, whiskeys, vodkas, rums, and more. They've got you covered for anything you got going on this holiday season. You can visit their website, DoorCountyDistillery.com. Find a bunch of festive holiday cocktail recipes. If you're having a, what's the Friendsgiving equivalent of Friends Christmas? What do they call that? White elephant
yeah.
party? Is that kind of the equivalent?
Secret Santa.
If you're having one of those parties, do the festive cocktails. And Door County Distillery's got a bunch of them on their website. You should really try them out. And Door County Distillery, they're local, they're affordable, they are the best. Check out their website, DoorCountyDistillery.com. Okay, big one tomorrow in college basketball, but not as big as it typically is. And that is Wisconsin Marquette. It happens at the Kohl Center tomorrow for the Badgers and the Golden Eagles. Now, frankly, I've been to 3 Marquette games this year, and they are 1-2 in those games. 2-1 in those games. They beat Little Rock, they beat Valpo, they lost to Maryland.
Put some respect on their name.
Do they deserve it? I want to put some respect on their name, but they've been incredibly disappointing this year. They're 5-4 overall. They clearly don't have the basketball players they once did, right? Like last year, they had a Cam Jones. They had a David Joplin.
They had
a Stevie Mitchell.
Yeah, that was the thing. It's like everybody that they have right now has never played in the role that they're required to for them to excel this year.
So Chase Ross is their guy, and everybody knows that's my guy. That's my favorite player in college basketball. I love Chase Ross. But that's about it from a scoring perspective. Nigel James Jr., the freshman guard, has been awesome for them. Really fun player. He's going to be, and I said this a couple weeks ago, I legitimately think he will be Big East Player of the Year conversation the next 2 years.
He's going
to
be an All-American one day.
Yeah.
Hopefully at Marquette.
He's athletic. He's fast. He can score. He can defend. He's a really good freshman. And that's why he's starting and getting a bunch of minutes for Shaka Smart and company. The rest of the team, though, it's kind of, I don't really know. Ben Gold has been inconsistent. Royce Parham, Zaid Lowry, been inconsistent. Caden Hamilton hasn't been the scorer that they anticipated him to be. He's averaging only 5 points a game.
And on the other side of scoring, it's defense. Like, the defense has been incredibly bad throughout the start of the season so far. Like, especially with the bigs, like Caden Hamilton, Royce Parham, Ben Gold, like you mentioned, just so out of position, can't communicate with the guards on switches and stuff like that. And, they were making guys on Valpo look like they belonged in the NBA. It was incredible. Like, you had a D2 transfer just hitting fadeaway jumpers right in Ben Gold's face. Like, and the weird thing is, Shaka Smart, before the season started, said this is his most athletic, fast, and quick team that he's ever had. So you would think, okay, they're just going to rely on their defense now that they lost those top three scores. But in turn, that's actually their biggest weakness this year.
Yeah. And you can hear Will on Marquette College game day this season. That's an informed fella right there.
Mm-hmm.
Including tomorrow starting at what time?
11:30?
No, 11. It's 11 to 12:30 probably. Yeah, because 12:30 would be pregame.
I'm so lost in the fight, like Shaka says, that I just forget what time.
Yeah.
I'm going to get there at like 9.
And speaking of losing in the fight, 3, 2, 1, time is up on the poll, and you lost the poll. 61% of the MIA said you should not be allowed to pick both the Packers and the Bears. So,
stupid.
At this moment, we go back to our NFL picks, and we go to the man in first place, tied for first place.
All right.
Will Summers, your Week 14 NFL picks, Packers, Bears, and an underdog.
I'm just going to go with the first game I see. Give me the Texans, underdogs. I hate this game. On the road. In Arrowhead against the Chiefs. I mean, this is the worst game, but give it to me. Whatever. Like, as I was reading it, it got worse and worse.
And are you picking Packers or Bears? You got to pick Bears, right?
Bears, yeah. If you're not going to let me do that. Now, this graphic's going to be so good now.
What do you mean?
It's like this circulates throughout Chicago Bears Twitter, where it's like the ESPN Monday Night Football crew making their picks before a game or something. It's all Packers, then Ditka's got the Bears.
So you are comparing yourself to Ditka.
I am Mike Ditka.
Okay.
A little sturdier, but...
A little sturdier.
Yeah.
So you might be the exact opposite in almost every way to Mike Ditka.
The only difference is that he was in a movie and I have not been yet.
Yet?
Yes.
We're going to make a movie one day.
What movie was he in?
I have no idea.
Kicking and Screaming.
I was going to say, what's the one where they are in jail and they make a football team? The Longest Yard?
Yeah, The Longest Yard. That's a good guess, actually.
That's what I would have picked. I know, like, the great Khali from WWE's in that movie. You know who that is?
No.
Okay.
No.
Fair enough. All right, let's get back to that Badgers Marquette. So, Hunter, yeah, go ahead of Marquette.
This program is just so... I'm just so frustrated with it. Like, if you're going to say, okay, we're not going to be a transfer school, that's not what we're going to do, that's not the type of program that we want to be, that's great. But then guys like Ben Gold need to actually get better. And he's been the same player since he first came to Marquette. And that's where I'm frustrated with it. Is like, if you're not going to go and bring in instant help to replace guys like Cam Jones and David Joplin, then you need to develop your guys. And I'm not seeing the development in these guys that should have gotten better. And I'm really getting frustrated with the way that things are going at Marquette. And Shaka's got to either turn it around this year or turn it around next year, or we might have to start having some conversations about the future head coach of Marquette and what that's going to look like.
Yeah, and I'll talk about it a little bit more tomorrow, but I think Shaka has like this misconception that with every transfer portal player, there's like this disloyalty that they'll, you know, jump ship and leave their school, especially when it's not a player that's coming from like a smaller school, like Cole, that came from George Mason or whatever it was, William and Mary to Marquette. But I think there's still like that brand of once they get to Marquette and see what you're all about, you can still instill that loyalty into the team, even though they might be coming from another program. But Marquette's the only team that still does that. And even you look at like the transfers that they did get, it was Kolick and I think Omax was a transfer too. And those have been two very impactful players they've had in the past 5 to 7 years that have contributed greatly to their success.
Yeah, we talked a lot about that with Shaka and our ESPN Wisconsin Coaches Week sit down from a couple of weeks ago, which you can still find on the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube page. I should probably upload that in the Irrelevant feed. I haven't done that yet. So you'll get your Coaches Week special in the Irrelevant feed. I'll upload that for tomorrow. My conversations with Doug Gottlieb, which there's another clip recirculating from that today after he threw a chair last night in a blown lead at home against Robert Morris in the Horizon League opener.
Ooh, who could have seen that coming?
Well, Gottlieb was telling me the story, and that's the clip you could find on my Instagram at @StrophyESPN and at ESPN Milwaukee on Instagram. He was telling me a story about him and his girlfriend, Cool, watching a Pacers game, and one of the games they came back in the playoffs, and he said to his girlfriend at the time, I want to be like the Pacers. I want to be on the side of the comeback where I win the game. Like a game we rightfully should lose and we win, rather than a game where we blow the lead, where we rightfully should win and we lose. And then it happened again last night to Green Bay. And that, this we talked before the season started.
I have a crazy thought for him. Has he thought about just winning? Like, period. What? So wait. He said he wants to be the comeback team all the time.
Well, no, he said he's just
talking about this one specific game.
He just wants to be a comeback.
Like one time? Like in a single game, he wants to come back and win?
Yeah.
Jeez, setting lofty goals.
Well, he says they were on the wrong side of that several times last year, and they were on the wrong side of it again last night.
Oh, so he just wants to feel what these other teams are feeling against him.
Correct.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yes, yes, exactly.
I think he should just focus on winning.
But talked with Shaka about the transfer portal a lot, and that conversation's really interesting. But you'll see the clip floating around here in the next 24 hours about from both him and Gard on this rivalry. But I did ask Greg Gard about this rivalry in a different way. You may remember my T-shirt from last year. The half Wisconsin, half Marquette T-shirt I wore to the game last year. I asked Greg Gard about it, and his response was, rather entertaining. Here's me and Greg Gard from ESPN Wisconsin Coaches Week.
I have a hypothetical for you.
Okay.
What would you say to somebody who has a shirt that is half Marquette basketball and half Wisconsin basketball? If they were to wear that shirt to the game, what would your response to that
individual be? Do you have one of those shirts?
I will save that answer until you answer.
I would say it... Well, you're gonna leave happy, no matter what that day, right? Half of you will be happy.
Half of me will be happy. I do have one of those shirts. Yes, okay. You played that game at Pfizer on my birthday last year.
Okay.
And my girlfriend stitched together two shirts for me because I root for everybody, and I thought it was a better shirt.
You're not
than
a graduate of both.
I am a graduate of Stevens Point.
I am.
That's true. The best part. He's like, "Oh, you must be a graduate of both." Actually, neither.
Yeah, he thinks I have double degrees.
Yeah.
No, neither.
You have half of one.
No, and then I went on to tell him I was a big fan of Dick Bennett, and then we talked about Dick Bennett for a while. So that was a part of our conversation. But any takeaways from Greg Gard's response? I think he held back. I think he wanted to say mean things, and he didn't.
Yeah, it also makes me question like how much the rival. Like I've always been curious. Like, does the rivalry mean more to one team more than the other?
The rivalry,
does it mean more to Marquette than it does Wisconsin?
Yes.
And that's the way it seems. And that was my biggest takeaway, confirming that thought.
The answer is definitely. Now, don't get me wrong, Greg Gard gets up for it. I mean, I think it's a huge in-state game every year.
I mean, Shaka's from the
Madison area. Yeah, he's from Oregon. But it's obviously a really cool tradition. It always gets a national TV spot. It brings people apart in college basketball, which is not typical in the state.
Not you, though. It brings you together.
It brings me together.
Literally.
It brings me together. Somebody just chimed in, video idea. Let Gottlieb throw a chair at Strophy.
Ooh, I don't think he'd be able to hit you, just like his team.
I don't think that's a good idea, regardless. So, there we go. Yeah. Any other takeaways, Hunter, from the video?
I mean, you making it about yourself when you're talking to Greg Gard is just on brand. Like, I'm kind of becoming desensitized to it.
Well, yeah. I mean, I thought it was a fun way rather than the same question I ask him every year, which is, why does this rivalry mean so much to you? I thought it was a fun, different way to talk about Marquette, Wisconsin, because I did an attention-seeking thing last year.
I like how you mentioned it was on your birthday, too.
I'm a birthday guy. I'm a birthday guy in denial.
Were you hoping to get a card from him or something?
No,
I
think it's
or he's going to be like, "Oh, it's Wisconsin Marquette week. I got to
mentioned that is because his birthday is the same week as mine.
Post game press conference.
We missed it on Wednesday, but it was Greg Gard's birthday on Wednesday. So his birthday.
So now
is
you're definitely
the week.
Not getting one if you forgot his birthday.
Oh no, I'm not getting one. Yeah, I'm not getting
bad
one.
Friend.
So it was his birthday, and Wednesday was the night they played Northwestern. So he got a win on his birthday. So happy birthday to Greg Gard.
I hope you don't get a win on your birthday.
I'll get a win. I'll get a half a win. I root for both. I'm both
so
a Badgers
gross.
And a Marquette fan.
I was talking
what's...
about the game on Sunday.
Oh, yeah. My birthday's
your
on Sunday
birthday.
My birthday's on Sunday this year. I'll get a win. I'm
really
be cold,
quick before
but I'll get
we
a win.
Go, just because I was looking back through some of the chat here, and I saw a fan ask about the Badgers football signing day.
Yeah, I responded. I said they under-delivered the end. That's it. I don't want to talk about it anymore.
Well, that's so stupid. If we're going to treat Luke Fickell as like a you have to win this next year, high school recruits aren't going to do that because they're not going to get the guys that would help them win instantly from high school. So they have to win in the transfer portal. If they under-deliver in the transfer portal, sure, be disappointed. Don't talk about it. The high school recruits, they are what they are. It doesn't really matter. The transfer portal is what's going to matter for this team.
And that's how they're treating it. And, I mean, if they can't even get recruits I don't know. We'll see.
This is why the field storming helps you so much, because, like, how many times did Oregon storm the field this year? Zero? Wisconsin did it twice.
Good take. Good take. All right, you have Bears news for us before we go.
Rome Odunze has been ruled out for Sunday's game.
Uh-oh.
I might change. Can I change my pick now?
No.
The off day? Like,
no.
Everything is stacked against the Bears right now. Like, there's no reason the Packers should lose.
Enjoy.
No reason
enjoy
they
Packers, Bears. Enjoy Wisconsin Marquette tomorrow. Will with you beginning at 11 o'clock tomorrow on ESPN Milwaukee and ESPN Madison, live from the Pottawatomie Sportsbook on, are we calling it Marquette, Wisconsin College Game Day?
Just Marquette College Game Day.
Oh, we're not changing the name of the show?
Don't think so.
Oh, I figured we would.
Maybe.
To be inclusive of both schools, considering the airing of both markets.
I have Marquette College Game Day here.
Okay, well. On Marquette, Wisconsin College Game Day. Ben Bruss, Gabe Neitzel will join them as well throughout the program. Brian D., Matt Yazel, and Will Summers. You can join me on Green Bay Game Day beginning at noon on Sunday. Courtney Cronin's going to join us in person, as well as Jason Wilde, and of course Rob Domofsky will join me and Gabe Neitzel throughout the program on Sunday. But Courtney Cronin in person, looking forward to having her on the program to get the Bears' perspective on things. We'll be without Rome Odunze, but sounds like TJ Edwards will go here in Wisconsin, back in Wisconsin for him. All right, that does it for us today. Enjoy the weekend. We're back with you Monday to pay off our bets and react to all things Packers-Bears. We will talk to you then. Peace.